I want to take you to Matthew.
You're old.
Yeah?
Yes. You know, I just gave the vision about the swans.
Yeah?
Peggy, and I think she might have something here. Peggy said she thinks those swans are she and I. And she said, of course, I'm the black and white one. Because, remember when Doug was here?
Yeah.
He said, sometimes people that have prophecy on them are black and white.
Yes.
We went down the waterfall together. And we're going to make robes and not be happy.
Hallelujah. Lord, see? Yeah, that's pretty cool stuff. Declare with me, I have eyes that see.
I have ears that hear.
And my heart perceives what your spirit is speaking to me. Amen? We were in Matthew chapter 1, and we spoke about verse 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. And we spoke about the reality of God guiding using coordinates that will get through to us in whatever way that it needs to be done, because we're all different. Some may have a dream, others may have a word of knowledge, others may have a scripture. But all of them, the intention is for the Father to direct your traffic. In John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30, Jesus never did anything to please himself. Now that's pretty heavy stuff. When you never do anything to please yourself, you realize that self has now taken a back seat and he's fully in the driver's seat. In my experience, I find that I push him out of the way sometimes because my brain overrules, my emotions overrule, my body yells and says do, and I end up flowing with whatever happens to be the circumstances. One of our young ladies talked about putting both feet in her mouth. Done it more than once. Others have said, you know, you do your best, but your best is not really good enough because you're trying to perform. And when you try to perform, God will allow that you will see yourself. That's his whole purpose. To get to see how much of you and me needs to move out of the way for him to be the king and the priest. You see, Joseph in verse 24, he woke up. He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Notice all Jerusalem, an entire city, gets affected by three strange kings, or wise men. And all Jerusalem with him. You see, why was Jerusalem upset? In a kingdom, everybody serves the king. And he was the king. And they were all politically connected to him in some fashion, way, or form. So the entire city didn't want to lose their status and their coordinates. When he had called together all the people, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. So they had a knowledge of the scripture. He looked for the experts. Has anything changed? If something happens to President Obama, what happens to Washington?
Chaos.
If he's threatened as president, the whole city will rally around him. And we should, because we're supposed to protect him and pray for him. But it was the same coordinates today that I'm trying to give you that have not changed. Now we see a man that has been named president because he was elected so, etc., etc., and I don't always agree with him. And that's my privilege. Okay? But do I have a right to get upset?
No.
Thank you. I have a right to my priesthood. Pick him up. Lift him up. Ask God to bless him. Ask God to awaken him. That priesthood is to bless, not to curse. And we've got so many Christians out there being anti-Christ. Because they don't like this one, that one, those, them, whatever. Whatever government that you have, the Lord really, in Romans 13, says you need to respect. Now, if they overrule and they do something totally wrong, then you are to obey the Holy Spirit because He is priority. But it's got to be sure that it is the Holy Spirit. So, again, watch, the whole of Jerusalem is upset. When he had called together, verse 4, all the people, chief priests, teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ, the anointed one, was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet had written. So were they using scripture as guidelines?
Yes.
Yeah. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Now, the next verse, verse 7, then Herod called the Magi secretly, found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. So the timing was important, which we discussed earlier today. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, no longer a stable, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, nuggets, I believe, and incense and myrrh, nuggets again, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Now, you say, well, it's kind of an old story, and I've heard it 110 times, but I want you to really consider thinking about what you and I would be like had we been living in that town. I mean, Bethlehem's not a very big town, you know. I've been there. A little tiny village. At that time, 2,000 years ago, it would probably be a very little tinier town. So everyone in town would know when three kings would this kind of awesome presentation, regalia, if you wish, enters the city. I mean,
or a town, because it's really a town, the whole town would know, wouldn't they? Do you hear any other townspeople going to worship him? So the average folks thought he was just an average child. Joseph knew that he was a chosen vessel. But I believe the only one that really had maybe, let's say, a certain inner knowing that she was carrying the Messiah, because she was the one that knew no one had touched her except the Holy Ghost. All right? And I'll use your experience tonight where you felt the Holy Spirit literally engulf a part of your body. I've had that happen many times in different ways. Truly, you know, he doesn't always do the same thing. He does it differently. But he does impact our body to make us aware that he can do things. And there's been times where he's healed me instantaneously. There's other been times where he dragged me into a whole procedure of getting healed. I like the instant stuff. I do. And, you know, I like it when he jumps out of the box and he does something totally different like he did tonight. And the gift that was given to me is being used for the wisdom of God. And the ways of the Holy Spirit, you saw the anointing on different individuals tonight. And what I'm looking at is, what is he doing in each of you? Because each of you is connected to a different family. He's recreating what he wants in every single village and town and city in this area. And that's part of your vision. Each one took some of the fire and they lit up something. When you go back to your homes, if you don't light up the building you're living in, maybe it's because you need instructions. Check in with the boss. If Papa says go and do, please do. Young lady, you've got a brand new place to live in and a place to deposit some love. And believe me, there's a lot of broken people there. But God knows. God knows. Your families, during this holiday, some of them, you know, they're very broken. And they're going to need a touch from you. Just ask the Holy Spirit to give you the courage and the wisdom of how not to embarrass them, but to release some fire into them. Amen? Amen. There may be times when he will touch what needs to be done. And last Sunday, the press was before the wedding to pray over the father of the bride. Now, the father of the bride was in a probably a very uncomfortable place, because in that room where this wedding was going to take place, he had two ex-wives. That very room. And here he had to walk down the aisle with his daughter. And he said to me, I've known him from the time that his father was dying in the hospital. And that's the whole different story, and I'm not going to go there. But I said to him, do I have the privilege of praying for you? Oh, he says, by all means. And I could tell he was ready to just explode. And so we kind of went to the side of the foyer area, and I took out the oil and I anointed him. And I don't remember what came out of my mouth. That's not important. What came out was what he needed. And I gave him a hug. And I reminded him that if those who judge him and condemn him would keep their opinions to themselves, because Jesus does not hold anything against us. I also reminded him that the last time I had seen him, that the anointing of the Most High was on him. And I saw it with my eyes wide open. And I assured him
that I would be there to intercede as needed. And then, of course, after I got done with him, there was a press to go and anoint his daughter, which was about to walk down the aisle. And I looked at her, and she's absolutely gorgeous. And she looks like her mother and her father. I don't know how come you can do that, but she does. And I asked if she wanted to be anointed, and she says, oh, please. And so we blessed her. Now, I could have backed down for fear of this one and that one criticizing. But you know what? They criticize one way or another.
Amen.
They're going to find fault. If they're going to find fault, it might as well be for doing something right. Amen?
Amen.
So close your eyes for a moment. Say, during this Christmas season, should the Holy Spirit press me? I won't worry about who's going to criticize. Because the critics are there one way or another. Either way, they're going to find fault. But when I obey the Lord, the Holy Ghost will flow in that person and touch that person and heal that person. And that's my job as a priest. Before my heavenly Father. Just like Jesus did. He didn't hesitate. He did as he was pressed of our Father. And so will I. In Jesus' name, we pray. One minute. My blessing to each of you for all of the coordinates that you guys have put together to bless me in so many ways. There is no way that I can say thank you enough for your precious ways, your little cards, your gifts, etc. It's not about the gifts. I'm honored to be a guide and to be a help. Because you know what? It wasn't my idea. It was the Lord's idea. And he's done some things with me that I know he has done, and he gets the credit. And I truly appreciate every one of you for your precious obedience. And my heart says to each of you, as we go forward in this Christmas season, let it be a time of great, great joy. Amen. And we look forward to see you Sunday, because it'll be our last Sunday in 2015, which is quite awesome. And blessings to each and every one of you.